I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. Well, I did it. I voted for former President Donald Trump for the first time, and there were some strong reactions to that on the internet. We'll discuss. Plus, California Governor Gavin Newsom comes to the rescue of Washington Democrats, and a rare win for foster families in Washington State and for the juvenile justice system. That and more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. Welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll whether you got your ballots in, so I'll look forward to seeing how many of you turned them in over the weekend. I like to just get mine done. I like to get mine done, get it in the mail. Mike got his done, put them in the mail together, and just be done with it. But apparently not without causing a little internet kerfuffle first. So I told you guys back in July, was it June, July? I think July. That I was going to vote for former President Donald Trump for the first time. I voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. I voted for the Libertarian Joe Jorgensen in 2020, mostly just because I didn't want to vote for Trump and I didn't want to vote for Biden. And Joe Jorgensen had come on my Fox 13 show at the time, and I thought she was perfectly lovely. And some of the things she said made sense. And I was feeling a little libertarian given the pandemic restrictions. And so I was like, eh, whatever, I'll vote for her. And was it during the pandemic? No, that was like that was pandemic restrictions. So anyway, I voted for Donald Trump. I had really thought about potentially voting for RFK Jr. because it wouldn't make a difference in our state and giving him a little bit of boost in the popular vote so we could prop up independent campaigns in the future. But I just thought I owed it to Donald Trump, kind of. Like, I was just so vicious toward him for 8 years. And also, you know, I kind of want to send a message that, like, there's a lot of people out there who would prefer his policies and what he did for the country, but are so scared to say, like, I'm voting for Donald Trump, that they either do it quietly or whatever it is. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to post about it. Man, that went nuts on the internet. I'm kind of surprised. So I had voted. I said, tonight I voted for real Donald Trump for the first time after bashing him on the news for 8 years. He's not my first choice or even my 50th, but I now see how the progressive left uses him as a boogeyman to distract from their deadly failures. I'm not falling for it anymore. It's been viewed 2.1 million times, shared all over the internet. I had friends from the Midwest. My sister in Florida was sending me stuff they'd seen about it on the internet, to which I kind of thought, you know, there were a lot of Trump supporters who were like, thank you so much. Like, this is a vote for our country. I mean, it's not an act of bravery to vote for Donald Trump. That's certainly not how I see it. It's just the better of two options. Kamala Harris isn't even an option to me. I mean, I cannot wrap my mind around people who claim to be conservatives and they're saying, well, I'm a principled conservative, so this is a vote against Donald Trump. But like, if you're a principled conservative and you're voting for a far left California progressive who you know is going to be bad for border security, bad for the working class, bad for crime, bad for the drug epidemic, I don't see how that's being a principled conservative. Being a principled conservative, if you really think Donald Trump is a bad choice, is like writing in a conservative who you believe in. So that's just odd to me. But there were a lot of people in conservative circles like hailing me on the internet as some like hero. And I'm like, no, I still don't love the guy. But this is who I'm voting for, and here's why. And I said something similar, actually, when it comes to, you know, the left uses him to distract from their failures. Back in 2020, when I was still on Fox 13 and I went and found the old commentary, I had actually done a commentary on mainstream news saying that my hope was, after Donald Trump lost, that now Democrats couldn't use him as this boogeyman to deflect from the fact that they failed on crime and homelessness and drug abuse and affordability and all these other issues. Because that was, you know, during 2020 in particular, Jay Inslee, Jenny Durkin, whenever you criticized anything they were doing, it was like, yeah, but Donald Trump. And I was like, okay, but, you know, Donald Trump doesn't have anything to do with our crime crisis or our homeless crisis or our substance abuse crisis or the fact that you let left-wing rioters take over six blocks of the city and destroy downtown and light police cars on fire. So, but he was like their scapegoat, right? And so I said at the time, like, I hope that now that he's gone, they actually have to take accountability for their actions, but they still don't. They still talk about Donald Trump. How much have you heard Bob Ferguson talk about Donald Trump on the campaign trail and the Washington State Democrats fearmonger over Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that? as a way to distract from all the things that they've done wrong. And I just refuse to fall for it. And I'm voting for Donald Trump. So anyway, there was a lot of positive response to that on social media. And I just, the negative responses crack me up. What I've found, and this isn't true for every progressive or liberal man, it's not, okay? Let me just start there. But what I've found is, like, the people on the internet who are the most vitriolic toward me, the most sexist toward me, the most degrading toward me because of my political opinions are absolutely liberal men. White liberal men. Over and over again, where they want to act like, oh, they have the high ground, believe women, trust women, vote for Kamala Harris, white men for Harris, all this stuff. But it's like, God forbid you're a conservative woman or you're a woman voting for Donald Trump. Like, you are a whore, scum of the earth, trash, rat, like sewer creature. I mean, literally. So some of the responses to me voting for Donald Trump, one of millions of Americans who are going to vote for Donald Trump. Let's see. At the Unheard Voice, this is a new whore added to the list for a pussy grab by the rotten orange. Like, what? Oh, let me guess. I bet you're a feminist. I bet you claim to be a feminist. Carson, Brandy's voting for Trump because she's unhappy about something that happened while Trump was the sitting president, talking about Trump. This type of rationale is why Trump loves the poorly educated. To which, like, I have a pretty high level of education, and I'm not the smartest person on the planet, but I think I'm fairly intelligent. At Ryan Shed, because you're an idiot. Why do you support a felon fraud rapist and accused pedophile? Where does it even come from? Who failed to balance the budget or replace Obamacare's promise while abandoning the Kurds and ignoring the four soldiers killed in Niger, currently selling $100,000 gold watches and gaudy gold shoes from China, Bibles he signed, NFTs and trading cards with pieces of his suit when arrested, and some new crypto scam with Elon Musk. Yeah, it's the because you're an idiot thing. So because I'm choosing to vote for someone who, again, like probably 85 million Americans will vote for, I'm an idiot, I'm poorly educated, and I'm a new whore added to the list for a pussy grab by the rotten orange. You know what none of the responses did? Like, not one that I saw. And again, this my vote was viewed by like more than, that was 2 million people just on X. Not one response was trying to make the case as to why Kamala Harris was the better option. Not one. Not one that I saw. It was all about Orange Man bad. And that's precisely the reason why I'm voting for him. It's like, Orange Man bad, or I'm attacking you because you're dumb, you're a whore, you're all these things because you're voting for Donald Trump. Not one of those made any effort whatsoever to try to make the case for why Kamala Harris would be a better president of the United States. And that just tells me everything that I need to know. And what I would ask to people who are voting for her, if Kamala Harris was everything she is now, if she spoke the way she spoke, if she had the same ideas, if she had the same policies, if she had the same track record, if she had the same experience, all of those things were the same, except her skin was white, do you believe that she would be the Democratic nominee for president of the United States today? If the answer is no, which it should be, because we know she got appointed to the vice presidency or chosen to be vice president because of the color of her skin and she was a woman, because Joe Biden said that. If the answer is no, that you don't think that she would be in the position she's in right now if her skin pigmentation was white, I just don't understand how you can vote for her. Because by their own admission, she was a DEI vice president who pulled at like 1% when she tried to run for president. And then they had to give her the job when Biden got too old. So it's just insane. So nobody can make the case for why Kamala Harris would be a better president because they know that there's no case to be made. It's all anti-Trump, anti-Trump, anti-Trump. And I simply refuse to buy into that. So yeah, I voted for him. Don't care if you want to call me a whore, sewer rat, dollar store Tommy Lahren or whatever it is. Like, that's fine. My ballot's in the mail. And I voted for Donald J. Trump. All right. Obviously, we need to start the show with a few election-related things, as some of you might still be considering your ballots or trying to get the word out to family and friends. I will say, as nasty and horrible as the internet was to me over the weekend, out in person, I had a great time. We had our third volunteer event for Dave Reichert. We were in Federal Way. We had an awesome, awesome turnout. Every one of these we've done, we've had a bigger crowd. A lot of people went sign waving. A lot of people volunteered to door knock, which is funny because at these events so far, it's hard to get people to agree to door knock because it's, I mean, Nicole doesn't even want to door knock because it's, it can be intimidating, right? I just love it. Oh my gosh. I had set, first of all, everyone there was so great. I'd ask them, you know, how many of you are doing this for the first time? And I would say half raise their hands, which is what we want to see. People getting active, getting involved, leaving nothing on the field and saying, look, this is outside my comfort zone, but I'm going to do it. And I just love to see that. And I had so many awesome encounters again with voters. This has been such an eye-opening experience for me. You know, I live in this like sort of podcast bubble thing with a lot of you who tend to, I think we all tend to agree on a lot of stuff. So it's a bubble of our own, right? And we're in this bubble of people who are hyper tuned in to politics and to what's going on. And, you know, going to door knock is really stepping outside that bubble in a way that has just been so fascinating. I've learned a lot from it. I guess I'm still surprised by how many people are undecided. You know, we're led to believe that like everyone's made up their mind and we're so divided and we're in our corners. And, you know, I think the last poll had maybe 12% still undecided. Man, I would say half the doors I knocked on and people I talked to were undecided in the governor's race, which is shocking to me because there's two totally different candidates, but they just wanted to do more research. And so I really enjoyed talking to those people. And then I had this, every time we've done these, I've told you about like my favorite door knock. So in Federal Way, we're at this house and my husband is actually door knocking with me, which was the first time he's come along. And this guy answers the door and it's clear he knows a little, he's like in tune to politics and we're kind of talking, but he still has not made up his mind in the governor's race. And his wife is just a few, you know, feet behind him sort of listening in. And we're talking about Bob Ferguson and we're talking about Dave Reichert. And she had said that she, her whole thing is like anything not Trump. Like that's what she's voting for, is like anything not Trump. And then as we got to talking about Dave Reichert, she said something to the effect of, probably not an exact quote, but I don't know how they can paint him as a Trump guy. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God. So here's this woman who explicitly is like, I'm voting for anything like anti-Trump. And then she takes issue with the fact that Democrats are trying to paint Dave Reichert as some like tried and true Trump supporter. And I was like, here's a woman who gets it. And so I was really happy to see that. But yeah, a lot of undecided voters, a lot of people who don't vote. So we actually brought out voter registration cards this time, handed out a couple of them to some younger, like 18, 19 year olds. It's just really a fascinating experience. Nicole wasn't there. She wasn't feeling well, but
I wasn't feeling well, but I did have a conversation with a Democrat. Votes mm-hmm. blew on everything this weekend. And I think I talked him into Reichert, so okay. That's good. But also learned, and I think that they will now vote yes on all of the initiatives as well, yeah. Because I think people put that in like a Republican Democrat box, and it shouldn't be. I think people are very confused. So, I mean, my lesson this weekend was to explain to everyone what they're voting for, because people are not understanding the initiative voting yes no thing. Well, and
the
not
description on the
yet.
Ballot, it literally, so confusing. It's like saying, because they passed that law, remember, that was mm-hmm. they passed a law in Olympia that was basically to make these initiatives more difficult to uh-huh. succeed, where they said, well, you have to put these lines in there about everything that will be taken away if you pass these. Mm-hmm. So now every single one of them reads like, if you vote yes, babies and kittens will die,
right?
It's like that really. It's like, if you vote yes, like the world will end, is essentially how they're all worded. And so,
and it's so simple too.
Oh my gosh, it makes it so challenging. So yeah, having to go out, talk to people, talk them through the initiatives. And I try to do it in a fact-based way, not like mm-hmm. the lying fear-mongering that the other side does.
Right.
Like, hey, if you support this policy, you know, you should probably vote no, but here's the reasons I'm voting yes. But anyway, so...
Especially with the taxes thing, because the people that I talk to, even though, and they're very blue, but they do not think that the money is being spent well. And they agreed that they didn't want taxes taken out, or, you know, more money going to things that they don't think are being effectively handled as is. So yeah, it was a very hurting. Successful conversation, and very, my mom could not believe I entered the conversation, because it's typically a topic off limits for some of her friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I just want to make sure they understand.
Because they're being lied to. And so, no, but it's easy to convince people when you have a chance to actually face-to-face, talk to them. I'm a real person. Here's the reasons I'm supporting these people or supporting these issues, and cut through all this absolute lying nonsense on TV.
And so for some reason,
one of those interactions matter.
Absolutely. And I also think for some reason, when people see initiatives, they think for some reason they can't vote the same on all of them. And so every time I say, so you're voting yes on all of them, and they're like, all of them? And so I think people pick and choose just because they don't know, and they feel like, well, I can't say no to everything, or I can't say yes to everything. And so it's just really important for people to understand. So be the person people can reach out to. So if you can educate yourself, which I know you're doing because you're listening to us,
obviously.
But be ready to tell people what they're really about, because the commercials are not what they're about. So
100%. Yeah. Lies.
Dreaming about it all weekend. I'm like, how do I get this message out to more?
Yeah. I was sharing it all over social media, and it's gotten a pretty good reception, but talking to people about it. And by the way, so all of these interactions we have matter. We're going to be doing one more of these in Stillicum this Saturday from, it's actually a little earlier than normal, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we got Federal Way knocked off. We're going to do Stillicum. We're going to be there not only for Dave Reichert, but also pushing the initiatives, and Kelly Chambers for Pierce County Executive. So we've had more and more people at every one of these that we've done. So we're hoping, again, that's coming down to the wire, October 26th. We're going to be really trying to reach those people who are still holding on to their ballots. So please, please join us Saturday morning in Stillicum if you can do that. All right. Meanwhile, well, I am out there knocking door to door. D-list local celebrity doing her part, right? Oh, Washington Democrats are bringing in the big guns. Who did they have? Jane Fonda a few weeks ago. They got Bill Nye on TV against the initiatives. And then they had to bring in old Gavin Newsom, which cracks me up, because, like, who's Gavin Newsom going to convince? Right? Like, no.
That's not already on board, you mean?
That's not already on board. I mean, he's like ruined California. Right. So anybody who's undecided, he's not handsome.
I mean
he's...
That's what...
Yeah, he's... Somewhat. He looks like a handsome politician. He looks like a snake oil salesman. Slick. Yeah. Slick is the word.
Slick looking.
So anyway, but it also kind of like... This is from Washington Democrats. Thank you, Governor Newsom, for your report from the swing states and your inspiring words to our volunteers. That's fine. Like, if they want to bring him in to inspire their volunteers and whatever it is, I'm sure their volunteers absolutely loved having Gavin Newsom in town. But that's not all he was in town for. He was specifically going door to door canvassing with Jay Inslee to defeat 2117. To defeat the initiative to repeal the Climate Commitment Act and bring down gas prices and bring down grocery prices. I had to laugh because Jonathan's show is so funny. So this like little alert went out, right, saying Beacon Hill canvass with Governors Jay Inslee and Gavin Newsom. Exact location available upon RSVP. And somehow Jonathan Cho got the exact location and was blasting it out all over social media, which I just think is classic Cho and absolutely hilarious. But again, you know they're going door-to-door lying. I mean, Jay Inslee has, this whole thing is built on lies. You know he's going door-to-door with Gavin Newsom, and they're, you know, trying to link their carbon markets, going door-to-door lying about gas prices and the impact to families, which just drives me nuts. But that's what he's here for. So he was actually, so who is this? Paul Rivera. A local reporter with Como News. He was at one of the events that Newsom was at, and he asked him a couple really good questions. I mean, a lot of credit to Paul. But Gavin Newsom was here for not only the initiatives, but also trying to support, you know, the Bob Fergusons, et cetera, and the Democratic candidates. And Paul Rivera was, you know, asking him legitimate questions about, okay, well, like, you know, there's a lot of things that aren't going well here. So what would you say to people who are concerned? Just listen to this response from Gavin Newsom.
What do you tell people here locally who are concerned about record homicides just recently last year, also record overdose rates, and think maybe a change in party, a change in leadership is the way to go?
Well, I'd like, if you're dealing with crime issues, I'd like to have an attorney general at the helm that's focused on that actually was doing something about organized retail theft. I'd like someone in the governor's office that's committed to those issues, understands prosecution, understands investigations, understands accountability. So that's number one. Number two, I think these stubborn local issues, as a former mayor, They have different kind of complexity as it relates to accountability, and I'll leave that to the judgment of local citizens. Beyond that, I'm focused on the state and the national issues.
What? What kind of word soup, again, like snake oil salesman stuff is that? You know, he's asked a legitimate question about, hey, you know, there's like stuff going on, like crime, people aren't happy with that or whatever. And he's like, well, I want to, you know, I'd rather have a governor who was an attorney general focused on organized retail theft, which we all know that Bob Ferguson only cared about organized retail theft when he decided to run for governor. He didn't say anything about the looting that was happening in downtown in 2020, has really not cared about crime whatsoever. So that's just a fallacy. And I love how he'd rather have an attorney general, like if you're focused on crime than a sheriff, also makes no sense, right? But then he won't. He totally deflects the question because he says, it's up to mayors. Like, oh, mayors need to deal with all these are really complicated crime, drug, homeless issues. So I can't speak to that as a governor of California. That's up to local mayors. Like, totally gets out of answering the question because there's really no good way to answer it with being honest. I mean, Democratic policies have destroyed California and Democratic policies are destroying Washington state. I mean, Gavin Newsom can try to come up here and spin it any way he'd like, but there's no way around that. And I've got to play this clip for you that just, it didn't floor me when I saw it, but I thought, this man can't help himself. This man cannot help himself. So Bob Ferguson, you know, he has dubbed himself the public safety candidate, right? Which is just wild. It's like he just named himself that. Like nobody told he's named himself that, right? So he is doing a sit down conversation with the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. And they're having a conversation about these very issues, about the crime crisis, the drug crisis, the homelessness crisis. And Steve Strand, who's the head of the Association for Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, points out, I mean, factually so, that, hey, you know, we've been under Democratic control. These policies have gotten worse under Democratic control. Bob Ferguson cannot help himself. He is so petty. He is so that he just loses his mind at this factual assertion that he is a member of the same party that has made all of these issues worse.
Some of the people watching this are going to say, well, that wouldn't be so bad if we were a little tougher on criminals in our state, which, again, came from majority party, which is the same party as you.
Come on, Steve, give me a break. I mean, yeah. I'm just being honest.
Right.
It's not. Look, we have 39 county prosecutors
right.
out there
okay.
who prosecute these cases.
Right.
Most of them are Republicans. I'm sorry, give me a break. You cannot lay, I'm
right.
not, no. I'm not gonna let you lay that on the feet of the Democratic Party.
Okay.
That is unfair and inaccurate. Okay, but I wanna be clear.
Okay.
Unfair and inaccurate.
Okay.
The public safety system is deep and complex and requires many partners.
Okay.
We've been very involved. I check my politics at the door. We take cases from Republican prosecutors and Democratic prosecutors equally.
Right. Right.
We take those cases, we prosecute them, we work hand in hand. Do I think prosecutors have too few resources? Absolutely, I do.
Right.
Do I think our sheriffs have too few deputies to help them take this on? Absolutely, I do. But I'm sorry, we can't be laying at the feet of one. Yeah. I don't think that's fair.
Yes, it is fair. Yes, it is factual. What a temper tantrum is that? And that shows exactly, what did the Seattle Times say about him? Petty, pushy, overly ambitious. Petty, pushy, overly ambitious. That's petty, that's pushy because he's overly ambitious. And that's the thing is, no accountability, no self-awareness. You've had one party in control for 40 years and you're telling him you cannot lay that at the foot of one political party. You cannot lay blame at the foot of one political party. How could you not? Whose fault is it? This is exactly what Dave Reichert asked Bob Ferguson in one of the debates. If you're not to blame, who is? Doesn't want to take any accountability. If he says he's going to be a change agent, right? That's what he said. He's the public safety candidate. He's a change agent. Then he could sit there and say, you know what? Your point is well taken. Democrats have been in charge for 40 years. They've been in control in Olympia, you know, most of the last 25 years, a complete trifecta on power. And we need to really reevaluate some of the laws we're pushing, like the restriction on police pursuits, for example, efforts to take it easy on criminals and lower punishments. But he won't do that because he is a party loyalist. To see him throw such a temper tantrum at just a factual assertion from the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs tells you everything you need to know about that man. He's not interested in personal responsibility. He's not interested in introspection, self-reflection, self-awareness, anything like that. And he's not going to make anything better because what do we always say? You cannot solve a problem that you refuse to properly identify. So if he will not admit that Democrats have made the public safety crisis worse, then he can't possibly be trusted to solve it. Unbelievable that in that setting, knowing he was on videotape, he still lost his shit like that. He still threw a temper tantrum like that. That's who he is. That is who he is, unfiltered. All right, speaking of Bob Ferguson, so I put out a couple recommendations. I'm not going to give recommendations in every single race. There are a lot of different districts in the state that I don't live in. And there are a lot of races. I think it's going to come down to your political party preference, probably, where I don't have actually a strong, strong opinion on. I'm going to give suggestions in the races where I think that it'll make a difference. So three key races, certainly on your ballots. Vote how you want to vote. But I am going to be voting and did vote for Dave Reichert for governor, for Dave Olson for superintendent of public instruction, and for David Olson and Dave Larson for state Supreme Court justice. Now, for me, these are three key races because I think that if you know, Republicans or if voters can make these choices in at least two of these races, it would have a significant impact on Washington state. I mean, Dave Reichert's a no-brainer. Like, we've had the same party in power for 40 years in the governor's mansion. Bob Ferguson would be disastrous. But these other two races, the reason why I'm telling folks, you know, here's how I recommend voting. These are nonpartisan races, so you're not going to see a letter next to their name. And so for some voters, that makes things a little bit more tricky. But our public school system is absolutely failing. It is. And even the Seattle Times admitted as much. The test scores are horrible. Enrollment is down. Schools are having to close. We need change. So David Olson is the change we need. He has the experience for the job. And I think getting our public education back on track would be such an improvement for the state of Washington. And then Dave Larson for state Supreme Court justice. I think it says a lot that all of the other Supreme Court justices are endorsing Dave Larson's opponent. And that means that they want a monolith for the state's high court. And that's a very dangerous thing. They want it packed with progressives that are going to decide. I mean, the state Supreme Court is what said that capital gains isn't an income tax, when every other state in the union says taxing capital gains is a tax on income. So they don't want any dissent. We need dissent, especially on the state Supreme Court. So Dave Larson is the obvious choice there. And he's the only one of the two candidates who's been a judge. Why would you put someone on the state Supreme Court who hasn't been a judge before? Makes no sense. I also want to just reiterate some must-win seats in order to avoid a Democratic supermajority, which would be disastrous. They'll push through things like rent control, unemployment, extending state unemployment benefits to striking workers. They will try to erode some of our protections under the state constitution for things like the right to initiative. So if you're undecided, man, these are the races where you just need to pick the Republican to avoid the math issue of having a Democratic supermajority in the state Senate. So if you're in the 10th, 14th, 17th, 5th, 24th, or 28th legislative districts, I highly recommend voting for the Republican that is on the ballot, because it's just a matter of numbers. It would be so detrimental to the state to have a Democratic supermajority in the state Senate. I don't think it can happen in the state House this year, so I'm not as focused there, but certainly next time around it could. So we need to prevent it in the state Senate first. All right, we're going to dip into some things that are non-election related coming up next. First, if you are thinking about reevaluating your family's insurance, it's a weird time right now because insurance companies are dropping people for even little claims. If that happens to you and you're trying to navigate the insurance industry on your own, it can be really, really difficult. So I suggest doing the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com. What it entails is they're going to go over your current insurance. They're going to talk to you about your insurance needs. And then they're going to go out. They're going to shop the market for you. And they're going to come back with their recommendations. Michelle sent us an email about her experience doing the First Mark Challenge. She said, thank you for recommending First Mark Insurance. I kept mentioning it to my husband, but he wasn't ready to look into it. We got our renewal with our existing provider for the next 6 months, and it went from $3,000 to $8,000 a year. I promptly reminded him about First Mark. We worked with Brad, and he saved us more than 50%. We can now continue our discussions about getting a travel trailer. Good for you. And then you can get a place at Natchez RV Resort. Perfect. So do what Michelle did, what so many other undivided viewers and listeners have done. Take the First Mark Challenge today. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. All right. I'm going to be called a hateful bigot for this next segment. Add that to the list. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. I don't get the pride crosswalks. I don't understand the pride theme crosswalks. Why are we spending taxpayer money on that? It makes no sense in the world, especially at a time when all these local cities, counties, the state are saying that their budgets are stretched thin, when they're asking more and more of taxpayers to fund this, to fund that. Why are we spending a dime painting crosswalks rainbow themed? Am I an ass? Like, is that really going to be the thing in a city in one of the most progressive states in America that signals to a member of the LGBTQ plus community that they're accepted? No, I think we've done that. I think that they know that in this state, they're accepted. Like, we go out of our way to make sure that if you're gay, if you're transgender, you know that the government accepts you. I do not believe that a rainbow-themed crosswalk is going to add or detract anything from that conversation. And I said as much on social media over the weekend because, like, all this Como News is pushing this out, saying, oh, Tacoma's going to get rainbow-themed crosswalks. And I retweeted it and said, stop the presses. Oh, the LGBTQ supporters hated me for that. And I'm like, does it make me any less of an ally that I think this is a wasted money virtue signaling? This is from the Center Square, which covered this through the lens of the taxpayer. Thank you, Center Square. Tacoma authorizes $35,000 for LGBTQ pride themed crosswalk in downtown. And they had some quotes in here from people who weren't exactly thrilled with the idea. Fellow Tacoma City Council member Sandeesh Sadalj said he was supportive of the crosswalk, but wanted more details on the project, noting that the $35,000 price tag seemed pretty high. Yeah, what is costing 30? You give me $10, I'll go do it.
Right? I know. And a regular, I looked it up, the typical crosswalk can range anywhere from $750 to about $3,000.
Right. So why does it cost more to paint it like a rainbow?
Oh.
It says, according to the Center Square, the $35,000 is not just for paint. Tacoma Public Works Director Ramiro Chavez explained to the council that the estimated costs have a lot of contingencies built in. For instance, the city is considering more durable paint for the crosswalk and plastic striping, which requires more labor to place into the surface. So, you guys, this
and they
is
have
so
to
stupid.
Hire out too. They can't just use city employees. They have to hire out for a special crosswalk.
Well, do they have to make sure it's painted by LGBTQ contractors?
I have no idea.
I don't know. You give me $10, I'll go down and do it. And then, of course, whenever one of these happens, and if it's damaged, even in the slightest, it's a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, you know how many other crosswalks are like damaged? Well, there was the one was it Spokane where they did like.
Oh, yeah.
Burnouts.
Yeah.
And they like charge somebody with like a felony hate crime, mm-hmm. right? Come on. I mean, like, don't, you know, intentionally destroy something like that. But like, you won't go after real criminals and somebody does a burnout on a rainbow crosswalk and you're going to try to throw them in prison, like the party that doesn't want anybody in prison and thinks we're like abusing the judicial system. You guys, it's so dumb. Yeah. There's people on, the response that like got to me, some troll on X, went searching in my past history and found like this picture of me and my best friend at Pride in Seattle, where I had posted a picture of us. He's gay. We were at Pride and I had like a hashtag ally. And they were like, found this old, it was like from like 2017. I love Pride and I am an ally.
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting a city to waste $35,000 on a rainbow themed crosswalk doesn't mean that I hate gay people, you know? But he was like, oh, are you still an ally, Brandy? I was like, yeah, actually, I am. I just think this is a waste of money and it's virtue signaling from the government on an issue about sexual orientation, which makes no sense. So call me crazy. It should be banned. Honestly, spending taxpayer resources on anything like this should be prohibited by law. It makes no sense. It's just like flying the pride flag over city halls. It's like you really don't understand in one of the most progressive places in America that we accept like gay people and all is well, and like, you know,
again,
it's just,
why
they want
sexual
act like the biggest
orientation
victim.
Needs to be
it has to do with who you want to sleep with and who you love. So dumb. Yeah, you should see Nicole's face right now. She's just like, it's so dumb. It just kills me. So yeah, $35,000 Tacoma, don't come whining to us when you need more money for stuff.
Yeah,
you go into your budget, get rid of all the nonsense like this, cut every DEI, you know, position that you've got for like DEI, hire this, all this nonsense, and then you come ask us for more money if you actually need more money for something critical that the government does. Stupid. Oh, and I'm not an ally.
Another good reason, like, to vote yes. No more tax dollars going towards any of this nonsense.
That's a great point. Is like, yeah, we're voting yes to repeal some of these insane taxes, because if they can spend money on crap like this, they don't need new taxes. You show me a mean, lean budget, you know, government spending on the core issues. And then if you need more money for education, if you need more money for public safety, like, hey, we're spending all our money well, it's having impacts. That's a totally different story. But when you're spending money on entire like DEI departments and rainbow crosswalks, genuinely, just go to hell. I'm not approving any more of your tax requests. Don't go to hell, okay? I don't mean actually go to hell. Kick rocks, okay? All right. I want to talk about a big win for common sense in Washington State coming up next. I'm really excited about this. I hate getting excited about someone losing their job, but this one really gives me the warm fuzzies. If you're thinking about selling your home at some point this year, reach out to our friend Wes Jones of sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. So many undivided viewers and listeners have done just that, because Wes has been doing this for a really long time. He's weathered all the ups and downs in the real estate market. He knows what he's doing. He knows the area well. Retired Seattle police officer Mike Boggs reached out to Wes when he decided to sell his home after 30 years and move to Arizona.
So the concerns were, is it presentable enough to sell quickly to get the price we want? Wes came out and met with us, and we told him what our concerns were. And he mentioned the concierge service, and we did take advantage of it. It was such an easy process. Wes is a really great guy, and his team is amazing, and the communication is great. So the whole process was great.
And he was, again, really surprised with how fast it sold. He's now, good for him, down in Arizona, not in Seattle Police Department anymore. Gotta love that. So glad Wes Jones was able.
This weather.
Yeah, glad Wes was able to do a good job for a retired member of the SPD. So reach out to Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. We don't get a lot of victories for common sense in the state of Washington. And so this is definitely in the victory pile, and I want to celebrate this today. News broke after our final live show of the week last week that Ross Hunter, who is the secretary of the Washington State Department of Children, Youth, and Families, will not be seeking reappointment to his position. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter. So there have been a lot of issues with Ross Hunter and the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. First of all, the foster care system has been a deadly disaster. Keeping Families Together Act, which made it much harder to take children out of homes where there was fentanyl abuse, and the way that that act has been implemented has led to deaths of innocent kids. And it's just been horrible to watch and to hear from some of these foster families and what they're trying to go through just to keep kids safe. So that in and of itself, I think, was enough to warrant Ross Hunter being removed from his position or having to resign. Now, the juvenile detention issue is a totally separate issue, just as bad. I'll get to more of that in a moment. But this is Ross Hunter released a video announcing publicly and to his staff that when a new governor comes in, so he's not resigning, taking kind of the coward's way out, but when a new governor comes in, he will not seek reappointment to his position.
So on Tuesday morning, I announced to my leadership team that I would not be seeking reappointment to this position, to the secretary of DCYF, in January when the next governor takes office. It has been an incredible privilege to be able to both direct and really be part of a sea change in how we think about providing services to families, how we get upstream, how we invest in protective factors that actually keep kids out of our downstream services, and how we make those services more humane. It's been an honor working with you all. I'm excited.
So
I'm not going anywhere, so I'm excited to see the work that you all continue to do. And I'm really proud of you all. Thank you for your commitment to children and families in Washington.
That was really awkward. Some people are made to talk on camera, some just aren't. He was like a deer in headlights there. You could tell they had edited a bunch of times just for him to send that simple message. But what he's saying is ridiculous. I mean, any insinuation that he has somehow made Washington State a better, safer place for children and families is just not true. It's not true, and there are so many examples of that. It's sad that Governor Inslee didn't have the political will to just fire him. I get it that Inslee's on the outs, but I mean, given everything happening between the foster care system and the juvenile detention system, that it would have been an easy decision to make to tell him resign or you're going to be fired, but he gets to take the easy way out and say I'm just not going to seek reappointment. So DCYF is also charged with our juvenile detention system, which we know has been absolutely in shambles. I mean, to the point where they released a letter saying that they weren't even going to accept any more youth to be housed in their facilities. There's been issues at Green Hill School, like assaults, drug trafficking, sexual abuse, you name it. I mean, there was a story out from Como News. This is just insane. Former Green Hill security guard charged with sex crimes involving an inmate. Because, of course, as a guard, you can't have, there is no such thing as consensual sex between a guard and either a juvenile or a young adult housed at one of these facilities like Green Hill. Because remember, you also have young adults in these facilities. You can be in there up to the age of 25, which is insane. From Como News, a former security guard at the Green Hill School in Chehalis was charged with two sex crimes on Thursday relating to sexual misconduct involving an inmate at the correctional facility. Michelle Goodman is her name, 31 years old. She's charged with three counts of custodial sexual misconduct in the first degree. According to charging documents, she groomed a 23-year-old inmate for sex and then convinced the man to video record their sexual encounters in a bathroom of the Green Hill facility. That's just one of many examples of misconduct involving staff at Green Hill School. Why? Because it's poorly managed. You have adults who are being housed with juveniles in a less than secure setting, where you might have a female guard who is basically openly mingling with these 13 to 25 year olds because we want to treat everyone like their children. When you have like hardened adult criminals who are in a juvenile setting, guards have participated in the smuggling of narcotics into that facility. And not to mention, I always forget the name of the other juvenile facility. The one they always escape from.
Hold on.
What is the one they always escape from? There's only two of them. I always just forget the name of it. Somebody will tell me. Multiple escapes because it's just not as secure of a facility as it should be. Because, again, we want to coddle all these young juvenile offenders as opposed to saying, hey, once you're 18, you're going to an adult prison because you committed an adult crime. What is it?
Echo Glen.
Echo Glen. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know why I always forget the name of Echo Glen. This is costing taxpayers, right? So there's all these layers to this. So, you know, for instance, Ross Hunter wants to say in there he's proud of what they've done for children, youth, and families. And, you know, part of coddling juvenile offenders, you know, letting 18 to 25 year olds be housed in these facilities and then not treat them like they are hardened criminals, which you only get to Echo Glen or Green Hill if you've committed a very serious crime as a juvenile. Like, we're not putting kids in juvenile detention for shoplifting, okay? So first of all, they're not safe in there. Some of them are being groomed allegedly by female staff members into videotaping sex. There's been assaults in there. There's been overdoses in there. So that's not protecting or doing anything good for these youth who are in detention. But then also it's costing the taxpayers, because what happens when something like that goes on behind closed doors? We're being sued for it, of course. Yeah, if my child is a juvenile who's detained at Green Hill and is groomed for sex or ODs on drugs that a staffer helped bring in, you think I'm going to sue the state? Hell yeah, I'm going to sue the state. This from King 5, Washington Youth Detention Facility pays millions in sex abuse settlements against staff. Public records obtained by King 5 show a long history of sex abuse by staff members at the 131-year-old juvenile detention facility that now houses male offenders from 17 to 25 years. The documents show the state has paid $4,485,000 since 2018 alone to settle claims filed by 23 current or former Green Hill residents. 23. And since just 2018, more than $4 million in settlements. Yeah, Ross Hunter, tell me that's a good place for juveniles. Tell me that's a safe place for juvenile offenders. Tell me that you've improved the lives of children, youth, and families while the head of DCYF. So Ross Hunter has been a failure. His failures have led to deaths. His failures have created and fostered dangerous environments. His failures have cost taxpayers millions of dollars. He should have been fired by Governor Inslee, or he should have been forced to resign. But because the political will doesn't exist, they're going to let him ride off into the sunset in the easiest way possible. And he is not going to seek reappointment to his position. It's not exactly the win we wanted, but I'll tell you, we have to take every single win we can get. And that is absolutely a win for sanity. It's a win for children in the foster system. It's a win for youth in juvenile detention. And it is a win for families in the state of Washington as well. That segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted for to opportunities to do just that. All right, let's talk about some national news. We have to talk about the Trump McDonald's thing all over the internet. I try not to do things on the show that have just been absolutely covered to death. But there's just... So first of all, this isn't a new thing, right? I mean, like, presidential candidates go do stuff like this all the time for photo ops or whatever it is. But there's just something so charming about Donald Trump at McDonald's. Here's a little video.
I could do this all day. I wouldn't mind this job. I like this job. I think I might come back and do it again.
Thank you.
Look at that. Mr. Look at that. How are you?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Nice to see you.
You made it possible for ordinary people like us to meet you.
You're not ordinary.
I mean... Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
I can see.
We pray for you, and you are the type of person we want to be the president.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
So nice.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I took a bullet. That's right.
Thank you, Mr. President.
When you think about it, I guess that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Look at all the fake news over there. Hello, everybody.
You can take this, right?
And you know this is compliments of Trump, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Mr.
President, yes. Please don't let the United States become Brazil, my native Brazil.
We'll keep it good.
Please, please.
We're going to make it better than ever, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure, Mr. President.
Compliments of Trump.
Yes, so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you over there.
Have a good time.
Nice to see you. Bye, darling.
Can you imagine the Democrat meltdown watching that? Like an East Indian, and then you've got the lady from Brazil. It's like
perfect,
mind blown. That was in Pennsylvania, right? Yeah, swing state, Pennsylvania. I imagine Democrats, I mean, they were all like, oh, this was just, you know, Donald Trump wants to pay those workers less. He's like, oh, he's a horrible person. He was very charming. You know, sometimes people go into those like photo op things, like candidates, and they're so freaking awkward. I thought he was very funny. He was very charming. He's in there salting the French fries and doing whatever it is. I really enjoyed it. Did you see, Nicole, the Newsweek article that came out?
I hadn't until you put this in there.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is honest to God, was just posted on X by Newsweek. Rumors have been circulating on social media that former President Trump's visit to the popular fast food chain was staged. Yeah, let me read that again. Rumors have been circulating on social media that former President Donald Trump's visit to McDonald's was staged. Oh, wait a second. Wait, he doesn't work there? wait. You mean he didn't actually get a job at McDonald's?
It wasn't during his,
oh my God,
daily order of McDonald's that he was like, wait a minute, let me just jump back there. I didn't even think of this.
You mean he just stopped by McDonald's and then just walked behind the counter and they just let him do it? Oh my gosh, I don't even know. My whole sense of reality is being really challenged right now. What? Where's this stuff? It's like, yeah, of course it was staged. Like, that was sort of the point. Like, we all knew he was going to go there days in advance. Newsweek. I had to laugh at that. What are you talking about? So meanwhile, Donald Trump's, you know, hanging out with blue collar workers in swing state, you know, talking to people in the drive thrus, serving French fries. Let's see what Democrats had cooked up. Okay, so Kamala Harris, of course, she's relying on some big name celebrities to try to get her across the finish line. So here is Lizzo going to meet Kamala Harris in Detroit to try to appeal to working class swing voters. Let's see what she's got.
This is how a bad bitch saves democracy. You hoes couldn't even spell democracy.
Got it. Lizzo getting on her private jet. This is how a bad bitch saves democracy. Mm-hmm. You hoes couldn't even spell democracy. So, first of all, who are you calling a hoe? who are the hoes in that scenario? So, they're hoes and they're stupid. Are those voters? Like, who are you calling hoes? I don't get it. So you're going to a swing state to try to convince voters in Michigan and a lot of undecided voters and a lot of voters in general. These are going to be middle class people. And you're going to all white suit, videotape yourself getting on a private jet to go save democracy, where she then proceeded to get on stage in front of people in Detroit, of all places, to push a candidate who's going to make crime worse, make life less affordable for the middle class, and you're going to try to use your star power to convince voters to vote for someone who will make their life more difficult after taking a private jet there. I mean, it's the optics. I don't vilify people who are wealthy. I mean, fine, if you have a private jet, if you're wealthy, Lizzo, by all means. But, you know, you've got someone like Donald Trump, for instance, and his policies inarguably would make, he's rich. I mean, it's not lost on me that a billionaire sitting there serving French fries, like, is disconnected from what it's actually like to work at a McDonald's. Like, I get it. But also, his policies will be better for the middle class. So it gives him a little bit of a free pass there to say, well, here's this rich guy who's wearing an apron and just playing the part of a McDonald's worker. He's totally out of touch with what it's like to work there, but his policies will actually make life better for people who work at McDonald's or for people in the middle class. And then you've got Lizzo, completely out of touch, getting on a private jet. You hoes can't even spell democracy. Like, what are you even doing? And then flying to one of the most, like, derelict cities in the nation, trying to convince them to vote for someone who would make their lives even worse. I don't even know how this is a difficult choice at this point. I saw this sign in my neighborhood. It said, it would be genius if it wasn't so incorrect. All the sign said was Harris, obviously. Harris, and then it was like italicized. Ugh. Harris, obviously. No, it's not obvious.
Nope.
No, it's not obvious. It should say Trump, obviously. Like, I get it. So anyway, the Trump McDonald's thing, I find him more and more charming. I still wish he'd kind of shut his yap sometimes. But at McDonald's, I watched so many of those videos of him at McDonald's, like salt in the French fries. And I loved the way he interacted, like, very naturally with McDonald's workers. And there was this one worker who I loved him because it was this young kid. He was not afraid to tell Donald Trump what to do. Like, oh no, that's too much salt. Like, he was like telling Donald Trump, had no qualms about ordering him around behind the counter. And I thought it was just great. So
I just think it's important to see things like this. And I'm not saying the other side doesn't do it too. They did right. It too. Some of it, you can tell who's genuine and who's not. And I think that this is helping you see what the TDS is created by something. Yeah. And it's this big machine that we talk about all the time. They've created Trump, and not that he hasn't made bad decisions and he talks bad about people, blah, blah, blah. But there's also this other side that that is politics, right? You have to be nasty sometimes. And I'm not saying that he's not nastier than some right. of the nasty, whatever. I don't know. But the majority of what we've created has been created by the media.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, in my mind. And having been there, I can see that now, right? Like, you're trapped in that little bubble and you're just, like, so worked up about
it. Try to get people to get you past that. That doesn't affect your life.
Yeah. And again, it's not lost on me that a billionaire serving fries at McDonald's does not mean he's in touch with the lives of people who actually serve fries at McDonald's. It doesn't mean that he can't do a little photo stunt that other people do and actually be pretty charming and funny as he does it and talk about how his policies will help people. But then you compare that. It's just the contrast between that and then, like, the what the left is doing. Like, Kamala Harris was at this event with, was it Catholics? No, maybe it was like a Baptist church or something.
Oh yeah,
it was all, a Baptist church. Praying over her, mm-hmm. And it just is like.
And this was a couple days after that guy yelled in the crowd something about Jesus, and she said, "You're at the wrong rally."
And it's like, oh my god.
And then she goes to a church a couple days later. Now that's probably staged.
But then, like, the Lizzo thing. This is how a bad bitch saves democracy. You hoes couldn't even spell democracy. Right. But again, who are the hoes in that scenario? I don't get it.
But I do like the reaction he has to it's an instant natural reaction when somebody says I'm just an ordinary guy, and he goes, you're not ordinary.
Yeah,
like, that was not scripted.
No,
you're not ordinary, like, knowing what to say in that situation, saying the right thing. That is what Kamala does not have, and that's why they don't put her in a lot of those situations.
100%. And it's like a lot of this stuff is staged, is what it is. But, like, you can tell a lot. That's a really good point. You can tell a lot about a person about how they handle an environment like that. Everywhere, everything you do, everywhere you go as a presidential candidate is staged. Whether you're walking into a convenience store like Kamala to buy the Doritos, or you're walking up, was it J.D. Vance to like get donuts or whatever it is. It's all staged. Everything you do, you're followed around by a press pool. It's on camera. Naturally, it's a little awkward. If I was followed around by cameras all day long or cameras followed me into a convenience store, I can promise you I'd probably be a little awkward like Kamala Harris, like, oh, here's my Doritos. So some of those things, I get it. But I think it's very telling about Donald Trump, the way he, like, you know, with the staff and the people at the window. It's very charming. And then you got Lizzo, like, getting on a plane, like, I'm a bad bitch saving democracy. You hoes couldn't even spell democracy. It's like, in what world do you think that's bringing people to your side? In what world do you think that's appealing? And, you know, both sides rely on celebrities to a certain extent. But there are far more big-name, A-list celebrities who support Democrats. And I really think it's because they live in this tiny bubble. I mean, the people who are that famous, you know, like the George Clooney's, for instance, who are that famous, who support Democrats, they have been disconnected from the real concerns and real life, like real life, anything. I mean, they're so insulated for a long, long time. And so, you know, I guess, how do I explain this? I'm just like, they can look at all these lofty, like, oh, these things make me feel good, and I think this is the right thing to do. And they're so insulated from the real life fears and concerns of average voters that they don't consider that when they're telling people vote for this person or vote for that person. They're doing it based on their feelings. What will feel good for me? And they have no idea what people go through day to day. So, and Lizzo kind of bums me out that she's that disconnected, because she wasn't, she fairly, like, recently, I would say, got like that famous. I mean, wasn't she just like she's only been really that famous for like a decade.
Well, that's a long time.
Is it though? I don't know. It's just like hard. You know,
I know, because, but like, fame, I think it's the fame thing that hits them, and then that's all of a sudden they're better than
All of a sudden I'm getting on my jet than, like, you bitch can and even spell democracy.
Their words being more than everybody else's. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, sometimes I worry about that too. Like, how do I put this? I mean, it's probably been 7 or 8 years since I've financially really struggled, right? Mm-hmm. Like back, like early days in news. Mm-hmm. But I grew up very poor, you know, four kids. I've talked a lot about my upbringing with my dad and alcoholism and drug abuse and all that stuff. So I always try to like stay firmly planted in that, like to remember that, to remember what it feels like to like go up to the gas pump and like put $3 in, or, you know, even when I lived in Seattle, I had my first job in news, you know, always paying my rent late and all that. Mm-hmm. So I try to like constantly remind myself of that. It's not like I'm wealthy, but like if I need something, I can afford it. And that's a feeling not a lot of Americans have.
But you want them to get there.
But you want them to get the there. You want them to be successful. You don't want to punish wealth. You want people to be able to, like, I built a business, right? You want people to be able to build something for themselves. And so I think, like, that's how I see, like, a Donald Trump. Like, Donald Trump never wanted for anything. You know, he got money from his dad. His dad was already wealthy and all these things. But I think he has an appreciation for the fact that he still had to work to build it.
Mm-hmm.
What he had, right? And so that's, like, it for me. It's, like, I'm not saying I'm wealthy. I mean, I don't think I'll ever be wealthy. I don't know how wealthy you can get doing what we do, but I am very aware of the fact that I don't struggle for anything. Very aware of the fact that if I want something, I can figure out a way within reason to buy it, right? And I'm very aware of how I didn't always feel that way and how much that sucks. Like, I remember the creditor calls to my mom at like all hours of the day and us kids being given like a spiel to like tell them if they called on the phone. So I think it's this matter of like Kamala Harris says, oh, middle class. Like everything is the middle class.
Right.
Well, she's wearing her like $65,000 Tiffany jewelry, which is fine. If she can afford Tiffany jewelry, that's fine. But you can tell she's completely lost touch what it actually means to be middle class.
The stories always end up being the same. So they just keep saying, like, she tries to remind you that she was poor once, but then all the stories are an attack. It's an attack on Trump, attack on the on the right, all that. And then I think much more often, and not just Trump, but candidates on the right are saying, aren't you tired of this? Aren't you tired of this? This is what I want to do for you. I'm not attacking the personality of the person that's making these decisions on the left. I'm attacking the policy. So if you are very if you're in tune to the what these people are all saying, you'll see the difference in attacking Trump and personality right. and association or policy. And right. typically the right's attacking policy and the left is attacking personalities.
100%. Like, I don't like when they, you know, all Kamala Harris and her cackling and all this stuff. But like when I tweeted out that I voted for Trump, and not a single person that I saw was trying to convince me that Kamala Harris was the better candidate.
Right.
It was all like attacking me because I support Trump, or attacking Trump because of things that he did, as if any politician at that level in this country, I mean, you know, they talk about Trump as like a womanizer. Bill Clinton? Like, Bill Clinton, you know, got in the White House? Like, what? You know, I'm not excusing it, but JFK. I mean, this is not as if like Donald Trump is the first president to be a womanizer. Would we love to have all these presidents who are just squeaky clean? Sure. But that hasn't been the reality for as long as this nation has been a nation. So like, stop acting so sanctimonious about it. I mean, I'm not saying it's not, you don't weigh all those things, right? You're weighing someone's character. You're weighing their ideas. But I'd rather 9 times out of 10, I realize I don't even know where I'm at in the show. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to want to vote for someone who is who they are and who is unapologetic about it. Because like, I always point to the Kshama Sawant example of the socialist city councilwoman in Seattle. She was nuts. But at least I knew there was a reliable form of crazy there, where it's like, she was never on my ballot. But it's like, I know 100% of the time how she's going to vote and who she is. And I would take that over Councilman Andrew Lewis, who on the last second will flip his vote because people yell at him. And it's like Donald Trump, yeah, he's brash and all these things, but like, he has been the same person since he came down the escalator at Trump Tower that he is now. Kamala Harris is a totally different person than she was 3.5 years ago. She's shed a layer of skin, a suit, and now she's a totally different person. How can anybody vote for that? You don't know who she's going to be in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. That's a really scary thing. All right. We're going to get to our daily show poll, questions, comments, and our closing sanity check. First, speaking of everything going on, building up to the election, what's happening globally, whether it's Ukraine or Israel, you know, you need to make sure you have someone who's monitoring your retirement portfolio and your investments, who has their eye on that, who's managing risk. That's what Bulwark Capital and Zach Abraham do every single day. Zach, Bulwark's analysts, they track current events closely so they can adjust to market risks every day to shield your portfolio as much as possible from risk. Risk management is Bulwark's number one focus because you only get one retirement. If you're like me, you've already dreamed up what that retirement is going to look like. So how much would that suck to not have your dream retirement come to fruition because you had someone managing your money who wasn't in tune with the risks and national current events? So you can learn about Bulwark's risk management strategy in their free Common Sense Investing Guide. Get yours right now by going to knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. Any references to performance of securities are thought to be materially accurate and actual performances may differ. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Truck 24308. All right, I just have to, I'm nosy. I have to know whether you guys have turned in your ballot already. So I asked subscribers on Patreon, Locals, and X in our daily subscriber show poll, have you already returned your ballot for the November election? Yes or no? You haven't seen the results. Nicole, what do you think?
I'd say about 20% yes.
20%?
Yeah.
Have you turned your ballot in?
It's in my purse right now.
So the answer is no.
No.
In your purse is not turned in.
Nope.
40% on Patreon are saying yes.
Wow.
60% are saying no. See, Nicole thinks so little of you guys. Just let the record show. Over on Locals, it's 50-50. Let's see what X. It's just a different. Yeah. And then the same on X, 40% yes, 60% no. So it's looking like about half and half.
Okay. I'm impressed. I'm impressed, people.
I'm not surprised. I actually expected it to be higher.
Wow.
Yeah. Karen says dropping it off today. David says, yes, I put it in the mail an hour ago. Love it, love it, love it. My husband was getting bombarded with texts from friends saying, hey, can you have Brandy put out her voting recommendations? Because I'm trying to fill up my ballot right now. I had a friend FaceTime me.
I know. Some people
I'm honored.
Yeah, some people have asked me that too. So, I mean, like you said, you're not, we will put out some maybe recommendations for people that do put out more county votes thing and city votes, because you're not going to do that. And so maybe we'll give you some resources that we trust, but
I mean,
that's
you know,
what people are waiting for, some of those.
I don't think I'm going to issue recommendations for like every single race up and down the ballot. But ones where I think the choice maybe isn't as obvious or we're really passionate about, you know, I'm going to put something out. Luann said, taking it to the drop box today. Vote yes, pay less. Michelle, we took our ballots to the drop box last Friday. Love it. Dave Reichert for the win. P.S. met Dave last week at a meet and greet in Burlington. Great down to earth guy. He came around to the tables and actually talked to the people before his speech and took questions afterwards. I love that. This one concerns me. Lisa G says she's still waiting for her ballot. Should have it by now.
You should. Maybe check your mail.
It varies county to county. I'm curious what county you're in. But, you know, you can always go to the Secretary of State's website and you can always, you know, see where your ballot's at, but track your ballot once you turn it in as well. I'm very, very passionate about tracking ballots because once you turn it in, especially if you drop it in a USPS box. Remember there was that issue a couple years ago with the election where some of the USPS mailboxes were not picked up.
Yeah.
And there was ballots just languishing and the box was out of service. I like to bring it to a ballot drop box just because I feel like it's just closer, fewer steps between, and it's not being handled by USPS. But tracking your ballot's really important. Lisa, I would say if you don't have your ballot by today, go on the Secretary of State's website or check with your county elections office because you definitely should have gotten it over the weekend. Yeah, because Shirley Lopez says we haven't gotten them yet. It does vary county to county.
And
so
there was some weather issues over the weekend. So maybe some of these, there was a lot of power outages. Maybe maybe there was a delay in some of the mail delivery. So check today.
Yeah, Kyle T, they're filled out and signed, but we're waiting to drop off until the family ballot drop party. Oh, I love that. And then he had a little champagne emoji. So that's great. I love having these family traditions around voting and sort of, Mike and I usually sit down and kind of do it together. We had to do it a little separate, but I left my ballot there in case he needed to look over it or anything. In case he needed his suggestions for certain things, but I think we probably voted the same on every single thing. Oh no, we did vote different on one, I think.
Really?
Well, yeah.
But... Oh, I bet I could guess. But I'm not gonna.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk more about races as the week progresses. Tomorrow on the show, but this is just a good one. You know what? I think a key race for Republicans is, I think one of the biggest wins they could have is Commissioner of Public Lands. We'll talk about it more on the show tomorrow. In fact, we just had, before the show today, Joe Kent in to tape an election interview. And you'll remember Joe Kent ran for the seat held by then Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler in the 3rd District. And kind of because of him, she lost her seat. She's now running for public lands commissioner, and he gives her his wholehearted endorsement. But I mean, she got the Seattle Times endorsement. She has some great ads running on TV. I saw one. I'm like, holy smokes, that's such a good ad against Dave Up the Grove, who's just a Seattle progressive who will ruin our public lands. So I'm really hopeful that that Republicans can recapture a statewide seat, and that might be one of their best opportunities to do so. Jamie Herrera Butler.
And that Joe Kent interview. Look for that because it is great. The answers were
great.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I have never interviewed Joe Kent before. Mm-hmm. I had a little TDS, obviously, as we've established. And so I didn't really want him on the show because I thought of him as this like Trumpian. Mm-hmm. So I apologize to him today for that on the air. But we had a great interview. And he talked about Jamie Herrera Butler and how, you know, wonderful she'd be for the lands commissioner race. Very gracious, you know, talked about Dave Reichert after having supported Sammy Byrd, just this real desire for Republicans to coalesce. I think he's got a good shot at retaking the 3rd. We did reach out to Marie Perez or are in the process of that, the Democratic congresswoman who now holds that district. And so she's more than welcome on. But I look forward to posting that interview. We've got 2 election interviews that we still are posting. I don't know if we're going to do more at this juncture, but Dan Newhouse over in the 4th and Joe Kent in the 3rd. So be on the lookout for those, Bolo. All right, Baron of Gray Matter, $5 super chat. Principled conservative, get over yourself, Brandy. The fact you had to justify your vote shows you aren't all the way there about policy, not the person. I wasn't calling myself a principled conservative. Do you think I called myself a principled conservative?
I don't know if that's what he meant.
Principled conservative, get over yourself. Brandy, the fact that you had to justify your vote shows you aren't all the way there about policy, not the person. Or is he saying that to other people? I don't get the comment. I was saying, I use the phrase principled conservative because there are people who call themselves a principled conservative, and that's why they're not voting for Donald Trump and they're voting for like Kamala Harris. And I just think that's ridiculous. I don't know how you could be a principled conservative and vote for the most far left presidential candidate of our lifetimes. Now, I'm not saying you have to vote for Donald Trump, like write someone in if you really like your principles tell you you can't vote for Donald Trump. But that doesn't, in my mind, make you a principled conservative if you vote for a far left progressive who's politically speaking stands for everything you've opposed. So that's what I meant. I don't know if you thought I was calling myself a principled conservative. I don't know. Sergeant Pickles, $1.99 super chat. Choosing candidates is easy. See the endorsements. Yeah, that's a good, you know who endorsed Dave Updegrove in the Commissioner of Public Lands race?
Oh, the stranger.
So that's an easy one. You just pick up the stranger. You look at who the stranger endorsed, and then you choose the opposite.
Yep.
It's also funny how like the far lefties on X, like they're like, you know, don't tell me who to vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote for.
Nope. Like, just showing you who I voted for.
You know the real good news? You don't even have to read my tweets. Like you could block me if you want. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, just because somebody on the internet said who they're voting for, actually, I know this is a surprise, doesn't mean you also have to vote for that person. Isn't that weird? Strange how that works. Dominic Miana, tell the graffiti artist not to paint crosswalks every color of the rainbow and it will get done for free. Oh yeah. Tell graffiti artist, hey graffiti artist, we really don't want you to make this
rainbow up that sidewalk.
Rainbow up that sidewalk. Don't do that. And then they'll go do it. It'll probably look cooler. Like instead of the rainbow, just rainbow lines, have a graffiti artist do some sort of like
art.
Cool, bright art or something. Yeah. I'd rather look at that. Might be distracting for cars. I don't know, but $35,000. Give me some chalk or some spray paint.
Yeah.
I'll go do it.
Maybe like for $200. I don't know about $10.
That's all I'm saying. It's $35,000 is a lot.
It's ridiculous.
It just tells you, like, if you can get in the business of getting government contracts, is there an easier gig than that? Lemis Liesa. Can we get some American flag crosswalks? I'll paint it for free.
Great idea.
We already have a flag that represents all people, so let's see some more of those crosswalks. Or can we just leave the crosswalks plain? Like, can we just leave them as they are? B. Larson, settlements. It's what a state like ours does because there's no way they could ever afford to defend themselves against that many lawsuits, and people sue the state because they know they'll settle. Yeah, 100%. I mean, you probably get some pretty outrageous claims and the state's like, ah, easier to pay them $50K than to actually go through with a lawsuit. Karen Pisonka, I probably butchered that, I apologize. Voting and supporting Trump, but have lost friends, so I'm doing it quietly. I totally appreciate that. Some doors I knocked on Saturday, I could tell were probably Dave Reichert supporters, but even they were like, you know, I just don't tell people who I vote for. And I'm like, oh, totally fair. Glad you got your ballot in. Like you do you. Jethro McButterpants, Lizzo's rental plane was a 30-year-old Bombardier Challenger that burns 365 gallons of jet A per hour of operation. Comically, it's described as a heavy jet. Oh, why would you put that in there? No Lizzo weight jokes, Nicole.
Oh, I wasn't. Yeah, but just saw how much the jet
yes,
costs.
But good information on the jet fuel. Matt Gilbert, $4.99. We need a hoe counter for this episode. Yeah, every time I said hoe. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Old Sub Sailor, $20 super chat. Boy, people are really brave on the internet. What a bunch of cowards. They would run the other way if given the opportunity to say those things to your face. Socialist, elitist, cowards. I agree. Although someone told me to F off on Capitol Hill once. They actually stepped out of their car when I was walking across the street and said, F you, but the full word, Brandy Cruz. And I thought, good for you, sir. Little unhinged.
Or
but
not.
Good
but,
for you.
Okay.
Matt Gilbert, 99 Super Chat. The only good thing about being a Seattle voter is that I have access to the best voter guide ever, The Stranger. Whatever, whomever they recommend, vote the opposite. It has never let me down. TZ Burton, $5 Super Chat. I door knocked on Saturday. First time doing this. Talked mostly to Ds, but a lot were happy to talk to us. One hardcore D is voting for Dave Reichert. Oh, I love to hear that. I didn't meet one person door knocking who was a hardcore Bob Ferguson. Not one.
Well, that's good. That's encouraging for Federal Way, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You put a comment in from my mother. Why would you put a comment in from my mother?
I think I know the answer, and I, you know.
Your mom wants to know. This is literally from my mom, Sandy. Would you have voted Trump in as your governor if it was Trump or Bob Ferguson? Yes.
Yep.
100,000 times yes, mother.
Trump. Or
we can talk about it on the phone.
Absolutely.
My mom's never submitted a live comment.
I haven't noticed one. Yeah.
Did you find that on Facebook?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, your mom wants to know, would you have voted for Trump and as your governor? 1,000% with a smile on my face. Now, my mom does not like Donald Trump, which is, guess what, mom? You're right. I hate to break it to you, though. I think 3 of your 4 kids are voting for Donald Trump. So I don't know if that means you failed as a mother. I don't think so. No, it's, no. You know, and it's all relative. And I like to tell my mom that if she lived if she had gone through the experiences I've gone through in Seattle, she would be a Republican. And I actually think if you pluck her out of where she's at and brought her here so she could deal with some real leftist policies, dude, she'd probably vote for a Republican. And Dave Reichert's very different than Donald Trump, obviously. But yeah, if the option was Bob Ferguson or virtually anyone, it would be virtually anyone else.
Yep.
So, love you, mommy.
Fergie's real bad. Fergie's real bad.
Real bad. Real bad. But yes, Donald Trump for president. Oh, poor mom. She's going to get her heart broken.
She should be proud. She raised very independent-minded
children. You raised independent-minded children. And look, our votes are a collection of our life and personal experiences. That's all it is. And I don't like to vilify people who are going to vote hard left because it's like, okay, what have they been through? What leads them to believe that? And sometimes I think they're being manipulated by the media or being manipulated by lies on TV. And I don't blame them for that. It's like, you know, I blame the people who are pushing that absolute nonsense on them to make them believe, for instance, that someone like Kamala Harris, who like bragged about being soft on crime, all of a sudden says she's like gonna crack down at the southern border. That's insane. You're looking at me like you have something to add. Mom say something else?
Did she respond? I thought that was great.
God.
Again, over there in North Dakota, they're not dealing with this Fergie guy. It's real bad.
No,
real bad, Sandy.
It's real bad, mommy.
All I can say.
North Dakota Democrats are not Washington State Democrats. Like, not in the slightest. Mm-mm. And also, though, the same is true, I think, for a state like North Dakota. Republicans there are far more conservative than Republicans here. So she's used to, like, a North Dakota conservative. We've got some of those here, but our conservatives are far more moderate. So there's a difference. It's like if you plucked me up and put me in a different part of the country, I might feel a lot differently about the state of things, right? Mm-hmm. And if you put me in an all red state with all red rule, I would probably have found a ton of problems with it because that one party rule thing is really, really detrimental, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. They're just pushing through their agenda, no backstop for bad ideas. I'm sure the chat really loved that I took a comment from my mother. All right, with that, let's get to our closing sanity check, shall we? All right, I have to love when like MSNBC ends up playing a clip that like flies in the face of every single thing they're pushing to their viewers. This is a really good example of this. So this is a black couple in a swing state that's explaining why they're not voting for Vice President Kamala Harris.
She's focused in on abortion. We have constitutional protected abortion here in Michigan. It's not an issue. I don't have a uterus anymore. My husband never had a uterus, but we have utility bills. We have grocery bills.
Yeah, we have utility bills. We have grocery bills. It's good to see some voters who are looking past these shiny objects that are meant to scare them, to gaslight them, meant to have them focus on things like abortion or like on Donald Trump and not focusing on all the very real things they're dealing with. Very similar sentiment, I think, to how I feel about what's happening in Washington State. I'm pro-choice. I don't have any plans to spend the next like 40 years getting abortions. I do have a lot of plans to want to retire, to want to be comfortable. I have to pay taxes. I have to drive on our roads. I have to live in our communities. I want to feel safe. I want to be able to afford gas and groceries. And I want my neighbors and my friends and my family to be able to do the same. So good for those voters for seeing through the facade. That has been our sanity check for today. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Even you, mother. Thank you, mommy, for watching my show. Love you to bits. I wonder if my mom's still a subscriber. She was one of my very first subscribers. I wonder if I've scared her away.
Well, I hope so.
Mommy. Oh, what else? If you haven't signed up to support our show already, you can do that for just $5 a month. UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com.
I was just checking to make sure she didn't respond, but I do see Miranda's going to go vote this week.
Oh, okay. I think Miranda's the only family member who's probably not going to vote for Trump.
Oh, she has to go early vote in Miami. You have to go there to...
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
She's
going
to vote the Libertarian. I already know. I don't even have to ask her. I guarantee she's voting for Chase Oliver. I'll have to have a conversation with her about that. We had Chase Oliver in. Wasn't super impressed. Wasn't super impressed. Nah. Anyway, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. See you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon. You too, Mom. See you then.